In today's episode of the Motorhome Matt podcast,
we speak with the comedian Brendan Riley on his experience of long-term travel with his kids.
In the news, we have a motorhome hire open day right here coming up.
And we answer your questions on UK stickers, trackers and warning triangles.
Welcome to the Motorhome Matt podcast. I'm Keith Gooden.
And I'm Motorhome Matt.
Industry insights and expert advice for the world of motorhomes, caravans and campervans. And it's brought to you by thatleisureshop.com.
And please do remember to follow on your favourite podcast app. And would you help us by clicking subscribe on YouTube if that's where you watch it? Brought to you by arrowbasecreative.co.uk.
In the news, straight in today, the Motorhome Holiday Company Open Day.
Woo-hoo.
Whoa, where is it? When is it? And how do I get here?
It's this Saturday, 27th of April, and we're in North Somerset. BS24 6RT is where we are. And if you're thinking of hiring a motorhome, maybe buying a motorhome, or changing your motorhome, and you want to try something else, a different layout, then pop along, come and see the team. They'll all be here with bells on. Maybe not bells, but they're certainly, they'll be here well presented. And most of our hire fleet is here for the weekend. So it'll be on display for you to come and climb in and have an explore.
And what a great excuse to get down to the West Country. Hewish, isn't it? Hewish.
Hewish. H-E-W-I-S-H. Yeah, not to be confused with the one near Taunton. We're the one. Junction 21 of the M5 near Weston-super-Mare.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. I love Weston-super-Mare.
It's brilliant. Some lovely beaches running, you know.
Yeah, I know. So this Saturday, 27th of April, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m, you can drop on by. Say hi to anybody that you spy. Will there be any discounts or good deals?
Always some good deals. Yeah, in fact, we've got this great offer which will finish this weekend. It's called Book and Pay, Get a Free Weekend Away. So if you book for a week and pay now, you can get a free weekend. So you can turn your week into a 10-day holiday, or you could book a summer holiday for a week and then have a little practice weekend, a little cheeky weekend before you go, just to get used to it all. So brilliant idea.
So get on down and say hi to everybody here.
I'll be here with the team. So 10 till 4 this Saturday, come and say hello.
Product of the week, it's the Campervan Bible, the second edition, by guest of this podcast, Martin Dory.
What a beautiful book. Here it is. Such a thick book. So much content in here. Beautiful photography, as always. Martin has done a belter of a job. As you say, second edition of the Campervan Bible. Live, eat, sleep, repeat. It says on the back, can I just read this? Because this sums it up really well.
You go right ahead.
The campervan is more than just a bed on wheels. It's a universal symbol for the open road, free-spiritedness, love, peace and harmony that everyone and anyone can relate to, even if the road ahead seems impassable sometimes. Living the campervan dream is about getting out, off the couch and living life. Give it a chance, and it'll take you to places you love the most, the places you may have been unable to go before, the places that you never expected to wake up in, and the places that you've always dreamed of seeing. Whoever you are, whatever your age and abilities, jump in and go.
Available at all good bookshops and here.
ThatLeisureShop.com. What a great... I wonder who wrote that. I guess that's Martin's words, but it is a stunning book.
And how much is it?
£22 at ThatLeisureShop.com. Yeah.
Look how thick it is. Look what you get for £22.
It's such a great gift. But actually, I bought this. I want to keep it. I've been flicking through it, and it is a brilliant book of hints, tips, advice, kit lists, cooking, travelling, preparing for travel, inspiration, left, right and centre every turn. So yeah, a lovely book. If you've already got the first one, this is still definitely worth getting. You can get one at thatleisureshop.com. Thanks, Martin. Well, not that you gave me this, we had to buy these.
Cheers, Martin.
And when you're in, Martin, I'm going to get you to sign it.
Yeah, cheers, Martin.
Yeah, cheers, Martin.
I'll sign it instead with my left hand.
Well, you sign it as Keith or as Martin Dory.
Martin Dory. Martin Dory. And remember, if you're coming down to the West Country in your motorhome, on a Friday in particular from about 2:30, all the farmers come out in their tractors. I can't read and I can't write, but I can drive my tractor.
I come from the West Country. Yeah. Just leave it there, shall we?
I think so. It's the Motorhome Matt podcast with me, Keith Gooden.
And with me, Motorhome Matt.
Brought to you by thatleisureshop.com. Let's talk about Brendan Riley. Who is he, Matt?
Well, if you're in the north of the country, around the Manchester area, Brendan, we're assured, is a famous comedian. Brendan got in touch. He's an avid listener to the podcast. And I love that he decorated his entire hall landing and stairs whilst binge listening to the podcast. And he got in touch and we got chatting. He's a lovely guy. We had a really great phone call. And he does some big trips with his kids in his motorhome. And I was a bit inspired by his story. So that's how we met.
When I was a mechanic before I did stand-up comedy, I used to race motorbikes. So we used to always be in the back of vans, in the back of old caravans, or camping, basically, in paddocks all over the country and stuff. I was useless at that as well, before you asked. I was terrible, terrible. I used to get more laughs on the racetrack than I did stand-up. But I've always liked the outdoor thing, you know, camping, going away, adventures and that kind of stuff. And then fast forward, 9 years with a caravan, so probably about 10 to 15 years ago, I decided to go all in and buy a really big tent, and I bought this big Vango thing, and it was one of the tunnel tents it was called. Uh-huh. And I bought all the gear, and I bought all the carpets, and I bought spent about £1,000 on all the bits, and then used it twice. The moment that got me into caravanning was I was in North Wales and we were in Barmouth, and I'd just gone the showers and it was a bit dank and it was a bit damp in the evening. It was just going dark and I'd just been for a shower and I was a bit down and I walked past someone's caravan and this bloke was sat there in this old caravan, but he had a mug of tea and he was watching telly with the lights on as the light was fading. And I went, you know, when you know your stomach cogging, your brain goes, I'm having one of them. And that was it then. I was hooked. So I got rid of I used the tent twice, sold it, bought a cheap caravan, mm-hmm. had it for 2 or 3 years, and then bought a nicer caravan. I bought a Bailey then, which then led into 2 years ago, I bought a Bailey motorhome.
Now, you've got two kids. Yep. How old are your children?
Erin is just turning 15. She's 14 at the moment, and then Finn's just turned 10.
You got a teenage girl.
Yeah. There's an old saying, they say, what's the difference between a teenage girl and a terrorist?
You can negotiate with a terrorist.
Exactly. Nailed it. Thanks for that. Yeah. But it's true, isn't it?
It's very true. It's true. Very true. And Taylor won't mind me saying that.
The kids are all right, though, joking aside.
Now, you've done some big trips with them in the caravan and the motorhome. But let's talk about the trips in the motorhome.
Okay.
You don't just go away for a weekend. I mean, you do.
We do, yeah.
You go away for the whole 6 week summer holiday with the kids.
Yeah. So we've had the motorhome 2 years. So post COVID, so we say that word. Ooh. I said to the missus, I said, I want to go away for the whole summer. So we were doing, I mean, to be fair, we went away with the caravan for a month the last time we used the caravan in Spain. Mm-hmm. And so we've done that, those kind of long holidays anyway. But I just said to Val, wouldn't it be great, as soon as the kids break up in the end, you know, mid-July, we literally go. And then we come back at the end of the school holidays. So sure enough, I mean, she said, can we afford it? I said, can we afford not to after what everyone's been through, lockdowns and all that stuff? So 2 summers ago, not last summer, the summer before, we did 6 weeks in Spain, sailed to Portsmouth to Bilbao, mm-hmm. and then went into the Pyrenees and ran across to the Mediterranean through the Pyrenees, and then went back down the Costas and then via Madrid. That was the route kind of thing, like a big loop. And then last year we got a bit more adventurous and we did 6 weeks again, and we drove to Croatia, was the furthest we went away, via France, of course, Europe, France, Belgium, Luxembourg, Germany, Italy. We did Lake Garda, we did Venice, and then ran around, drove around the coast, which wasn't actually that far, about 3.5 hours, mm-hmm. from Venice to Istria, which is the Italian side of Croatia, and then went out to Kres Island.
Yeah.
We did Kres and Mali Lošinj as well, which the islands off, which were lovely. So we did 19 days in Croatia, came back via Slovenia, Salzburg, Lake Bled and that, and then did Salzburg and then Germany, and then came back, ended in Amsterdam for 2 nights. And then we got the ferry back from, which I'm going to do again, from Rotterdam to Hull to save the horrible drive back north. Around the M25 and down the M40. Yeah.
Amazing trip.
Yeah, absolutely. And is it a holiday or an adventure? It's more of an adventure with holiday part elements to it. A mix of things like cities and a mix of things of cities and campsites.
So you're planning a big trip like this. You've named all the places you've been.
Yeah.
And I know you have aspirational destinations that you want to head to.
Yeah.
And they kind of form the basis of the journey. But how on earth do you prepare the kids for that kind of trip? And what are your criteria for success for them? So they come home and say, Dad, that was brilliant. Can we do it again next year?
The big answer to that question, or the simple answer to the question, is not too much time in between places. So not too much time in the van. We're not really motorhoming.
Okay.
We're caravanning with the motorhome in a way, because we go on sites for a week at a time. So we don't do too many stops.
Do you only ever do campsites then?
We do airs, and we do stopovers in Stellenplatzes in Germany and stuff. So we will do that en route. But really, the time of year, the heat, we need to plug the aircon in.
Uh-huh.
And that's like one of the best things I ever did, was put an aircon unit on the roof. Yeah, because the heat, you know, 38 degrees, 40 degrees when you're in some of the places, you wouldn't sleep. It's all very well saying you've got a fan, but not when it's that hot.
So aircon is invaluable.
Aircon's massive, yeah, and sleep. But really, I think the thing is, my wife and I, we love the travel. So we're driving through the Alps or driving through the Tyrol, and we're like, wow, 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 look at the view. The views are amazing. And the kids are in the back watching The Simpsons. My daughter's on her phone. You know what I mean? So
looking down.
You've got to be aware, especially, that's the number one thing, that we don't have too much motorhoming.
Okay.
Is that makes sense. So not too much travel. So we're not hours and hours or days and days. We try and break it up.
Now, I guess if it was just you and Val going, it would be probably a very different type of holiday to the ones of the kids.
Yeah.
So what elements do you build into it then that are going to, you know, make the children appreciate the holiday and keep them engaged with it so they want to stay there?
I think for Finn, more than my daughter, because of his age, all he wants to do is swimming pools. And up until last summer, he wouldn't go in the salt. He wouldn't go in the sea. He doesn't like salt water. No, so that this is what you're dealing with, isn't it? He wouldn't go in the water, in salt water, because he doesn't like the taste of salt. So we'd always be in these beautiful places with crystal clear oceans, and we'd be in a swimming pool all the time. And you've got to be aware of what they want and what they want from the holiday, number one. And as ever, most parents aren't they? Previous to all this motorhome and stuff, and I mentioned this in my act sometimes, I said, COVID ruined holidays. Of course it did, but they didn't ruin my holidays. My kids ruined my holidays, was a joke that I'd say. Because years ago, Val and I used to backpack around the Greek islands. We've been to Singapore, we've been to Malaysia, travelling around. We always travelled, Val and I, previous to having the kids. Previous to the motorhome, when we used to look at travel brochures or websites, you'd be going, oh, we're definitely going there. Look, there's a slide in the pool. It's like the most important thing is keeping them happy. So that's always in my mind. And when I'm planning, like this year, there might be a couple of days where we're in the van for a long, long, long day, you know, traveling 6-7 hours. But really, after that, we try and keep it to around 3 hours between places. And we ask them what they want to see. Like this year, we're going to go and see the Colosseum, because Finn wants to see the Colosseum, and he did it in school with the Romans. So we make sure that they've got, I mean there's a few places that we're going to see, and they're like almost ticks in a box. You know, they're like, yes, we're going to go in the Alps again because we love the mountains. We're going to go up Mont Blanc, Agrida Midi, I think it's called, or something. But you can go right up to the top and near enough Mont Blanc. The kids like that kind of mad adventures and cable cars and stuff, but we do as well. So it's definitely identifying what your kids, because every kid's different, what they would like. But really, swimming pools, campsites, you know, that's what works for us at their age, and I'm sure it'll change, you know.
Of course, as they get a bit older, yeah. And you'll have to plan again differently again.
Yeah.
But you made a comment earlier off mic, you said this is about going on a big adventure with bits of holiday thrown in. I thought that was great.
Yeah, I mean, really, if you look at the way, I mean, you kind of inevitably, if you're going to travel through Europe, there'll be that element anyway, i.e. cities, places to see, things to see en route, and then the holidays are the holiday camps, you know, the campsites, the big sites. And
yeah.
I mean, Croatia itself has got so many amazing, very, very large, which is not for everyone, large campsites with pools. You know, some have 3 or 4 swimming pools and
water
stuff.
Parks,
exactly, water parks, yeah. As well, which we again was our last year. Some of the campsites had water parks on them. Yeah.
So no doubt people listening to this are taking inspiration from it, but there's one big question: what does it all cost to do a 6-week trip like this with kids, staying on campsites, because they're not They're not cheap, are they? Not in August.
Exactly. So you said about if it would it be different if it was Val and I. So straight away, if it was just the missus and I, we wouldn't do it in August and July. We'd do it in May or September, October, of course, because it's still nice weather out there. The sites that we go to, they're normally around €100 a night. Which people, when I'm on the forums, it's quite funny where they go, this place is a rip-off, they charge €30. And you're like, getting ripped, live our life, you know.
Go in August.
But you're stuck, we're stuck, aren't we? The same with any family going on any package holiday in August, it's like double the price. I think last year, it's around £7,000. So for 6 weeks, it's around £7,000. And I don't tot it all up, I don't think about it, I don't do all that spreadsheets and stuff. But I know we probably spent around that on a 6 week tour, and then we go out a lot. We don't scrimp, so we'll eat in the van sometimes, and sometimes we fancy we'll go out. We're not overly extravagant, you know.
But you could spend probably half that on a 2 week holiday. Well, you did, didn't you? You said you went to Corfu.
Yeah, on the back in 21, I think it was. We had the caravan then, and Val said, I want to lie by a pool on the beach. I want to do all inclusive. I don't want to do a caravan holiday. And I said, okay. So we ended up doing Corfu, which was about $4,500 for the holiday, and then easily. Even though we're in all-inclusive, you do another grand or maybe $2,000 in spendies in a two-week holiday. It just happens. So you're not talking much difference between a good, a nice hotel, you know, a normal hotel package holiday, really, and it's 6 weeks.
And great memories as well for the kids.
Oh, I think kids get used to it, don't they? No matter what you give them, they kind of take it for granted, yeah. Which is them. I think when they're older, they'll go, oh my God, they'll realise how these mad journeys that we've been on. But to be fair, it's probably a little bit selfish. It's for us as well. So it's not, the holiday's not for the kids, but it's great memories for us with the kids.
Where can people see you, Brendan?
Follow me on Facebook's the easiest, Bren Riley. Yeah.
Bren Riley.
I think my cover picture is me and Jason in Afghanistan with helmets on and body armour or something.
With a camping and caravan club membership.
Of course
card.
It is, yeah. It got me home, didn't it? It got me home. Yeah, so I'm live, I'm gigging all over the time. My comedy company is called Big Comedy UK, okay. Which you can follow, and the Southport Comedy Festival, I run that as well with the missus. I'm on the tinternet.
Brilliant. Well, if you're in the area, because you're mainly up in the north, aren't you, I suppose?
Yeah, but I used to be everywhere, so I've pretty much gigged all over the world, but as things have gone since having the kids, I've tried to bring it back, so I'm mainly in the northwest of England. Yeah.
Okay. So that's Brendan Riley, comedian from these northern parts.
Famous to a few.
He decorated his home while binge listening to the Motorhome Matt podcast. Orange, I presume.
I don't know. I didn't actually ask him what colour it was.
Now, he travels with his family for long trips, all summer holidays sometimes.
Yeah.
And as we heard with him, you know, he does convince his teenagers to join in, and they love it.
They love it, absolutely. As Martin Dory says, in his book, whatever your age or abilities, it's for everyone. So yeah, they do. And the great thing is that Brendan's gifting his kids, and as he says, they probably don't realise it, is memories. And certainly that's the case for my kids. They've got really great memories that they still talk about, camping trips in the rain, and they remember them really fondly. And we never went very far with the kids in the motorhome. Unlike Brendan, that will drive all through the continent, we never did that. We would travel for max a few hours, but it doesn't really matter. They just love being away in the van. So if you're thinking of doing it, which is why we've kind of done this episode, really, thinking, oh, yeah, but the kids won't want to come. No, they may not want to come, and it might be a challenge to get them out of the house. I promise you, they will have some great memories, even if they don't realise it at the time. So, yeah, get them out, get them in the van, get them exploring. Even if it's a beach day trip, that's what we've done lots of times. We're lucky where we live. There's a beach near us called Barrow Beach, and you can drive the motorhome onto it. And my kids have all learnt to ride a bike and fly a kite on that beach, and it's a brilliant place. So, yeah, great day out.
And it is all about families, isn't it, motorhoming and caravanning? Because if you used to do it in your childhood, think back, can you remember the rainy days?
I do remember. I remember going away in a caravan. I do. And the reason is because we used to go away in a static caravan that my grandparents owned, and it didn't have a toilet or a bathroom at all. So in the middle of the night, we'd have to trudge up the hill in the rain to go and have a wee or, you know, go to the loo. Yeah, Nightmare in the Rain. That was a rubbish caravan, I'm not going to lie.
You're really selling it today.
It was really old. This is back in the 70s.
Yeah.
Had gas mantle lights.
Yeah. So remember, it's for the family. It's not all about old people sitting on the lightweight furniture by the side of the caravan or camper van for 6 hours out of every day going, kids. All about families, all about getting out and making.
You're like a Harry memories. Enfield sketch, you are.
Harry.
Harry.
It's the Motorhome Map Podcast. I'm Keith Gooden.
And I'm Motorhome Matt.
Brought to you by thatleisureshop.com. It's our questions and answers. Now, we've got some funny names of people here because we've picked them up off of YouTube and comments on YouTube. And so it sort of has the names of the people that they're known by online. So bear with us. This is at Tom-Lee2PX on YouTube. I'm just going to call him Tom. He says, we're planning our first trip to Europe this year. If our camper van registration plates have UK stickers, do we still need a large UK sticker, that the oval one as well?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So the number plate stickers are recognised in Spain, that you need a large UK sticker for the whole of the rest of Europe. That is the official guideline. I have travelled in France without a big UK sticker on because I forgot to stick it on and then promptly lost it. I did have a UK sticker on my number plate. Would you be stopped for it? Possibly. But the rules are a big UK sticker everywhere, but in Spain they will accept the UK license plate or number plate sticker where it says UK. The big thing here is it says UK, not GB. The GB is no longer valid.
You can't use GB. So you can't say, I've got GB, I'm going to use that. It's got to be a UK sticker.
Yeah.
And if you've never stuck it onto anything before, test whether it's metal or whether it's plastic. Some of it looks metal, like I did. I got a magnetic and I couldn't get the thing to stick because actually the back of the car was plastic.
I can see it now. Stick on.
I was at the Le Shuttle terminal and had to go back in the shop and buy another one.
They got special stickers for people like you.
Yeah. And special jackets as well. Richard's in Harrogate. Do I need a tracker for my new motorhome if it has an alarm?
That's a very good question. So the answer to that is going to be determined by your insurance company, Richard. They'll tell you, based on its value, whether they want to have a tracker fitted, and then you'll need to determine with them whether it needs to be a Thatcham-approved tracker. We're actually going to unpack all of this in a future episode with a tracker company called GPS Bob, and they are going to come in and do an interview with us at some point in the next few weeks. So stay tuned for that. We'll be unpacking what is Thatcham, what does a tracker do, and why do insurance companies like you to have them? So stay tuned. So I'll check with your insurance company. If they say yes, then you're going to have to get the one they approve. If they say no, then don't get one, unless you want one.
Approved and fitted, because you mentioned a couple of podcasts ago about how these professional fitters will stash a tracker away.
Absolutely, yeah.
Behind the dashboard.
They will.
They'll take your car apart just so the criminals can't get to it.
I hate watching our auto electrician fit them, because I walk past the motor and he's got half the dashboard ripped out and it's in bits. It looks horrendous. Looks like it's been involved in some massive accident, but he's taken it apart and he's hiding the tracker, little black box, deep inside the engine bay or the dashboard. So yeah, get it professionally fitted as well.
And what the criminals tend to do is they'll steal the motor home and then they'll drive it to a car park and put it there for a couple of nights and see if anybody turns up. That's the only way they know it's got a tracker. There's no other way. Keith Brownridge is in Selby. Hi, Matt. Good to meet you at the Yorkshire Show. Sarah and I had a fantastic time as new motorhomers. My question is about the red triangle versus the flashing beacon. We've covered this in the past. If I put three flashing beacons for my two cars and hit the motorhome, do I also need to put out the red triangles?
That's a good question. So from the 1st of January next year, 2025, Spain are going to accept the orange beacon as a legal alternative to the red triangle. In fact, they're going to dismiss the red triangle and you will have to have an orange beacon. Both are fine at the moment in the lead up to that deadline. But across the rest of the EU and the UK, at the moment, you have to have a red triangle. So that is the recognised piece of emergency equipment, which should be placed 45 metres behind your vehicle. Most people don't know that. So the orange beacon, it's called a V16 beacon, is, I think, a must-have accessory for any vehicle, simply because you can put it outside the vehicle without getting out of it. If it's a car, it will just magnetically apply to the roof. If you're Keith, you're going to really struggle doing that and get one of his special jackets. But you can turn them on manually. V16 is a set of criteria that means it's a certain colour, flashes at a certain speed, and can be seen from 1 kilometre away. If you go to thatleisureshop.com and search V16, you can see a video of me explaining how they work, and you can buy them on there.
They're a great idea, and the Spanish are adopting them because they have had cases in Spain where people have been walking down the road after breaking down to put out the warning triangle, and have actually been hit by traffic, haven't they?
That's
so
right.
They're adopting the flashing light.
And the brilliant thing about them is, you imagine on smart motorway, day or night, you're in lane one. We talked about this before as well. If you're in a Z4 BMW or an MG BGT, something small and low, the sensors will not pick you up that you've broken down and that you're stationary, so the red X above you won't turn on, meaning that vehicles will continue travelling in that lane. So having a beacon is going to draw attention to any driver in lane one, and hopefully they'll pull out of the way in time. But honestly, smart motorways, I'm not going to start, but they are just the most dangerous place to drive. We were on one coming back from the Yorkshire Motorhome Show. I drove in lane two. I refuse to drive in lane one of a smart motorway anymore, just in case somebody has broken down in a Mini or something small, an MX-5 in lane one, and I wouldn't know because the red X wouldn't come on. Lethal.
Well, the police are clamping down, you know, on lane two drivers, £100 fines.
I'd rather pay the £100 than kill someone, I'll be honest. Honestly, I would protest to the copper and explain what I was doing and why. Thankfully, Rishi Sunak has abolished any budget for new ones, but the ones we've got are staying. So this beacon is, it's a brilliant accessory to have for any car, any motorbike or any motorhome. A motorhome, of course, they're not metal, so they don't clip to them. You can just put them on the floor behind the vehicle, turn them on manually, and then you know you've got a chance of being seen.
There you go. We really want to hear your questions. So why don't you ask them yourself? If you have to do one or two or three takes, just like we do, it's fine. We can we can make you sound spiffy by editing you two
spiffy
together. Yep, spiffy.
How are you going to do that? Hit the spiffy button.
It's the magic of podcasting. All right, not off, podcasters. Do that. We want to hear your voice. So go online. How do people record their questions?
It's dead easy. Just go to mhmp.info/askmatt. There's an orange button. The instructions are there. Click the orange button on your phone or your computer, and you can record yourself and ask your question. You can then listen to it, and if you're not happy with it, you can do it again. Then when you are happy with it, just click submit. It will come through to us. I do normally try and answer them personally as soon as we get them, or as quick as we can, and then we may include it in a future podcast episode as well. But we would love to get your question as a little audio. It's great to hear your voice. Remember to tell us where you are. If you'd rather, though, not record it, you can fill out a form and submit your question that way. But I always say this, it's so true. If you've got that question, I guarantee there's loads of other people with the same question. So the Q&A bit of this podcast has always been a highlight, not just for Keith, but it's a highlight for everyone listening. And people get such useful information out of it. So please don't be shy. There's no such thing as a daft question, just the one you don't ask.
That's MHMP, motorhomemappodcast.info/askmatt. That's one word. Ask Matt. You can also subscribe, can't you, Matt?
You certainly can. Remember, on your favourite podcast app, to click follow, and then on YouTube, click subscribe and the bell, and then the gods of YouTube will tell you when a new podcast episode is out. And thanks to arabasecreative.co.uk for sponsoring our YouTube channel.
And how do you share it then, Matt?
How do you share? Dead easy. Just share the podcast with a friend. Copy and paste the link into a message or an email. If you think somebody would benefit from the info that we try and share, or be entertained by it even, or they've got a special jacket that might fit Keith, then do get in touch with them. Let them know.
Thanks for listening to the Motorhome Matt podcast. Remember to check back here for more episodes full of hints and tips and helpful advice. We'll see you soon for another Motorhome Matt podcast, brought to you with thatleisureshop.com.